welcome to StarKay's kosherclasses.org monthly teleconference. We're glad that you joined us. We're here in Baltimore, Maryland. My name is Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg. I'm the director of Kosher Classes. I'm with Zev Steen, who's our able producer, and running the show as well as recording it. And we're going to talk today about visiting hotels. If we have time, which I don't think we do because the program is only half hour, visiting hospitals. The connection between those is that they both start with an H. This is actually an article that I am in process of writing and for publication in our Kashrus Currents, which is our quarterly magazine disseminated in various publications throughout the United States. And so we wanted to give you a little preview of that discussion, especially these holidays coming up. People may be going away to hotels and want to know what they need to do as a kosher observant consumer in these hotels. We have the ability to take questions here, and we enjoy questions. We like that to get people involved. The way that you ask a question is you hit 1-1. Thank you, Zev. 1-1 on your keypad, and that shows us over here in the office that you have a question, and then we will recognize your question. So please do that if you have anything you want to ask. We'll talk a little bit about these hotels, but then we can talk a little bit about anything that's on your mind. Today we're, again, pleased to be joined with Rabbi Baruch Beyer.
Oh, thank you.
How are you, Rabbi Beyer?
Good. I was getting lonely over here.
Okay. All right. So the hotel situation is on the agenda today. People going away, a lot of people traveling.
So I'm assuming we're talking about this from a kashrus and halachic perspective, correct?
Correct. Yes, we're not going to give you the best sites to visit or
right. StarKay-approved hotels.
StarKay-approved. We're not going to give you the cheapest places to go or the most recommended. We're just talking about, in general, what does the kosher consumer need to know when he goes away. Now, we're basically going to discuss hotels that do not have a kosher certification. I guess we could broadly group hotels into two different groups, right? One is hotels that are kosher, mm-hmm. and they are certified kosher. And the other is your average Holiday Inn or Hyatt or whatever that doesn't have any certification at all, and they're accommodating you.
Right.
Would that be right? Is there any other type?
Not as far as I know.
Not that I can think of. From our perspective, it's either kosher or not.
Right.
And when you have a kosher hotel, you have to really investigate first, what does that mean? Does that mean that, it means that the food is going to be kosher, and you want to investigate who's certifying it and so on, does it meet your standards? But is the agency looking at more than just the food? Because there are other areas that need to be looked at. For instance, if you're there for the Sabbath, for Shabbos, and there's an Erev, which is a means of allowing one to carry outside the hotel on the hotel grounds, did the kosher agency look into that to make sure that it's satisfactory, or do they feel that they're only certifying the food? That's something that you want to know in advance. But we're going to focus on hotels that don't have any certification at all. And so you go to your hotel, usually when we go to hotels and motels or buyers, usually we get there late at night after a long day of work.
Exactly.
You know, traveling about 3 zillion miles from place to place to visit factories
right.
on behalf of the StarKay.
Right.
But we're happy to do it.
And it's not usually on Shabbos either.
Not usually on Shabbos, right.
Right.
But that's usually our stay in the hotel. And you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you see that they have a continental breakfast, many hotels have. So what can you eat at this continental breakfast? What's available to you? So, Rabbi, what do they have when you go? What do you see there?
Well, usually they'll have cereals, you know, cold cereals
okay.
available.
Okay, well, that depends on whether or not
if you can see the packaging.
Right.
A lot of these places are kind of hamish in that sense that you could ask to see the package
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to.
Okay, or they may have these little
or they might have little boxes, right?
Little boxes that you know you see right away what it is. Okay.
Right. So they'll have that, and they'll have. I mean, they might have hot items also, which they're cooking there, which obviously you point out in your article would be not possible for us to eat.
The prepared foods are
right.
not available. The pancakes, yep. waffles, the bakery items. I mean, those aren't.
But then again, you know, I wanted to point out that there are times where, let's say, you'll have bagels, for example. And they'll have them just sitting out in a basket, out of the package, and not toasted.
Okay.
And they could very well be kosher, if you were able to see the box where they came from. Theoretically, I suppose you could be your own mashgiach and find out if the bagels there are kosher. You couldn't obviously toast them in the toaster, but
right.
Theoretically you could have or a muffin, something like that, also could be very well kosher.
Right. Okay. So you could look into it and
you could right. You'd have to do a little research to see
what it is.
Right.
What it is exactly.
Right.
The cut fruit is not recommended because
right.
they cut it with knives that they may have just cut some non-kosher food and then they're cutting your
mm-hmm.
fruit. But
mm-hmm.
you can have whole oranges or
right.
anything that's
bananas,
whole.
Right.
Bananas.
And then they have various juices that are available usually, like from a dispenser or from a machine. So again, the Star K policy, I believe, still is that we allow 100% pure orange juice and apple juice. Am I correct?
Right. It would be better if you could find it with certification, but in that situation,
right.
you're probably kind of stuck whatever they have.
Right.
This comes a little bit as a surprise to some people, but eggs are a problem. Cooked eggs,
mm-hmm.
which they're not giving you raw eggs, so the cooked eggs are a problem.
Right. You mean like a hard-boiled egg?
A hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg.
Right.
Those are a problem, as well as, scrambled eggs is also an issue. Those would not be permissible.
Right.
The coffee is fine if it's unflavored, and the milk is fine. Plain milk is fine if you're not careful for the special Chalav Yisrael stringency, then the milk is...
Now, while you're on the coffee topic, I know you didn't mention this in the article directly.
Well, you're the coffee expert, Rabbi Bayer.
But here we go. No, but I just wanted to mention the idea that that a lot of hotels now will have a coffee maker in the room, in your room that you're staying in, not just at the breakfast area.
Okay.
And we get questions many times about whether or not someone can use those coffee makers and use the coffee that's there. And Rabbi Goldberg can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we've always said that you could use those coffee makers.
Well, the question would be, do we suspect that people who are there, who stayed there before you, use this for something other than coffee, like to heat up their soup, their non-kosher
right.
soup, because you could put it into the carafe and add the water and then just heat it up on
right.
the on the metal
right.
the disc over there. So that's the question, right? I think it's been a discussion back and forth whether or
right.
not you have to be concerned about that.
Right.
You know, so I think though you're right that our official policy is that would
right.
be okay.
Yeah. And
what else is there in terms of food? In terms of food, if when you go to a hotel, many times, if it's a hotel that serves regular meals to their guests. Then they will be able to order food for you from various vendors that are kosher around the country, like airline meals. So you can get airline meals in your hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We have some vendors that are Star K certified that will send meals anywhere in the country.
Right.
And there are other agencies that do. And that's
right.
a very, very viable option. You know, if you want to eat half decently at a
mm-hmm.
At your hotel, that's something that you should look into. Of course, you come, when you get it, they shouldn't open it, they should just leave it in the packaging, and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth. That's the same way that you get it on an airplane.
Right. I've once heard that you can actually order that in Disney World.
In Disney World? Yeah.
Uh-huh. If you go to Disney World, you can get it in even some
of
the...
That's true. I remember. They did have some of our meals
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I remember somebody
right.
asked us about that.
Right.
They had some Star K meals. Well, the bottom line is that the good thing is that a lot of the hotels, they want to be accommodating, and you know, they understand that this is their business, and they have to be nice and accommodating to their guests. And besides that, most of the time they're just nice people, and they want to, you know, they try to help you. That's the good thing about our country, is that they're willing to help us with our religious needs. And that segues into the issue of the Sabbath, of Shabbos problems, issues,
mm-hmm.
concerns when you're going to stay at a hotel for a weekend, and this brings up a whole set of concerns that that person may not even be aware of. So we're going to try to make the audience aware of some of these issues, and but the main thing I want to stress is that once you know what these issues are, find out before you go whether or not in this hotel they're going to be a problem in the hotel you want to stay at.
Right.
Don't wait to get to your hotel and then find out that the rooms are, I don't know, electronically configured with no possibility of you staying there without,
right.
you know, and keeping to the Sabbath rule. So you want to find out beforehand, call the hotel, talk to them. Then when you get to the hotel, talk to them again. The staff on hand will be the ones to help you out with any issues, the night staff, the day staff, and you know, when you approach them in a friendly manner and explain why you need what you need, your special needs, and what you need and why you need it, and they're usually more than willing to help, especially if you make it worth their while, if you know what I mean. That's always helpful. So one thing that people don't realize, I think people haven't been in hotels in a while, don't realize that some of the rooms are censored in such a way that when you walk into the room, the lights go on, and the air conditioning goes back to the setting that it was when you left.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's energy conscious nowadays. Energy is expensive. There's an energy crisis. So hotels are trying to save money. And
right.
The one way they do that is not having the air conditioning or heating running 24 hours a day.
Right.
You know, the people, the guests are out touring. There's no reason why the air conditioning should be on. So there are some sensors in the room that sense when there's nobody in the room. And at that point, the air conditioning goes off, and when you come back in, it goes back on to the setting that you had it. That's an issue coming back on Sabbath or on a Yom Tov holiday because you are causing the air conditioning or lights to go on. Another thing that's kind of neat is that they can sense when you're not in the room, and they can send in the housekeeping to clean the room. So they don't have to knock on the door and then, you know, and they say, "Who's there?" Housekeeping, "Well, I'm still here, so, you know, come back later."
Right.
You know,
right.
And they feel they have to disturb you, and it's not efficient. So this way they can find out when you're not there. One option, if you have such a room, is to ask the staff to disable it. Sometimes it can be disabled. Or it could be possibly covered. If it's like a little box that has some
right.
sort of sensor, you might be able to cover it. But to cover it, you need permission from the hotel. You know, if you cover it, it may not work. You know, you may be freezing
right.
the whole weekend, or boiling, or whatever.
Right.
It may disrupt the room so much that you really have to get permission from them to do that and to find out if that would actually work. So this
mm-hmm.
is something you want to find out in advance.
Right.
Let me just mention again, take a station identification. I'm Rabbi Zvi Goldberg here with Rabbi Baruch Beyer. This is our monthly teleconference brought to you by kosherclasses.org. And if you have any questions on what we're talking about so far, feel free to hit 1-1 on your keypad, and we will see it over here and be able to recognize the question. Another issue, did you ever go to a hotel that had a refreshment bar, Rabbi Beyer?
Well, you know, on our
on our
expense
budget,
we don't usually go to those kind of hotels.
All right, but we don't have to.
But
tell
I have
everybody.
Been. I
we
have
don't
been
have to
in
tell
hotels.
Everybody that what?
I have been in hotels like that. Yes. Yes. I have.
I think I've been
in
some hotels where they have a soda
yeah.
or something like that. And,
yeah.
What they do is sometimes people think, "Oh wow, this is nice. Look, they put soda in my fridge."
Right.
That's not the way that it works.
Right.
They
right.
charge you when you leave. They'll add it to your bill. When they come in, they check to see what's missing. The housekeeping marks it down, and they will then add it to your bill. and you have to make sure whether or not you really want to spend $5 on a can of soda.
Right, exactly.
The question is, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, would it be permitted for one to remove that? After all, it's like a purchase, and is that permitted to be done? And the answer is that it is permitted, because you're not really, it's not really a full purchase over here. You're taking something from them. They're going to record it whenever they come in and clean. You're not telling them to write it down. You're not, you know, if they don't come and they don't check and they won't charge you, and it's not, you're not really directly initiating it.
Right.
So that kind of sale is permitted on the Sabbath. But there is a new invention, relatively new, of these refreshment bars that use electronic sensors. Right? They don't want to have to rely on the housekeeping to go in and check, and sometimes she forgets, and sometimes she makes a mistake. So what they do is, when you take out a bottle of soda or whatever else they have there, a Danish, it records that you removed it. It has these electric eyes that can sense, or by weight, that you removed something.
Uh-huh.
And then it knows what you took out. It sends a message to the machine, and it appears on the screen, and it's also recorded and charged against your hotel ledger.
Big Brother is watching.
Yeah, so
there's no privacy nowadays.
and actually, I found that there's actually a patent for one of these items owned by a company called E-Room System, Electronic Room System, and this is it's more efficient. And in this case, you cannot remove it on a Sabbath or a Yom Tov holiday, because then you are directly initiating the sale. It's being charged to your account, and it's really you're purchasing something on the Sabbath, which is prohibited.
It's good for your diet, though.
The interesting and technical thing is that what happens if you take it out and you look at it and you read the label and you say, oh, I don't want so many calories, or I don't want this flavor. That's it? You bought it, and buyer beware?
Can you put it back? Yeah.
They have a little gadget there that allows you to actually put it back within a certain amount of time, and then it knows that you put it back also, and it doesn't charge you. But
yeah.
that would be a problem also on the Sabbath. I'm just pointing out technically that it's interesting that they can do that. But again, the fancy hotels that we go to don't...
We don't have that issue.
We don't have that problem.
Yep.
On the Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. It's a good thing to have hot food. We're supposed to have hot food. It's more tasty. And how are you going to accomplish that in your hotel room if you're staying there over a weekend? Well, you can have a hot plate or a warming tray in your room, assuming that the hotel allows it. Right. You'd have to ask them for permission, and if it's granted, then you put on the hot plate, you turn it on before Shabbos, put the cooked food on before Shabbos, like a kugel or a chilant or whatever you're going to have, chicken, and then you take it off on Shabbos and eat it, and that way you can have your hot food.
Mm-hmm.
And electronics is an issue. Electronic doors. This I'm sure everybody has seen. Anybody who's walked into a hotel lately has seen that they have now electronic door keys that look like a credit card, more or less. And the hotels are using that for safety.
Why is it safer?
I'll tell you, it's a couple of reasons. It's safer because there is no key that has the number on it. It doesn't have the room number. If people are walking around the hotel and they drop their key and it has the room number like the old style, somebody who finds it could go into their room and compromise the safety of the hotel guests in that room. Another reason is that a lot of times people forget to return their keys. So now they have people running around the country with the keys to that lock, and they have to change the lock, and it's expensive. So
and
this
every
way...
Time they make a new key each time, right?
They make a new key each time. It's only good for those 24 hours that you rented or you're staying there, and that's it. And when you leave, it's deactivated and it won't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very good for during the week, and it's good for the hotel. but how does one deal with that on the Shabbos? Because when you take that key and you swipe it through the door lock, it causes the light to change from red to green and the door to open. So that's something that you cannot do.
Right.
And what the answer is, what you can do is make arrangements with the staff before the Sabbath starts and tell them that you will not be able to open this door. I mean, what you could also do is ask them if they have a regular, you know, a door that works as a regular key. Sometimes hotels have a certain amount of rooms that work like that. That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, then you can leave the key with the desk before the Sabbath and then go over to them when you need to get in and have them open it for you. That's permissible. You'd go in, let's say, at night, you'd go to sleep, and in the morning, you leave the room, and then you go back. Maybe to
There's no Amira La'akum issues with that?
It is, but since you're going in this case, to do a mitzvah, which is like to take a nap or to get your sitter or something like that, it would be permissible. You shouldn't go in just for no reason. You shouldn't have them do it for a minor reason, which is not a good idea anyway, because you're going to get on their nerves. So you should only go if you really need to go in.
Right.
There are some people I know that when they have this situation, what do? They block up the lock so that the door doesn't lock at all. And I'm not so sure that that's...
Just leave your door open, in other words.
Basically, you're leaving your door open. I mean, that's a personal decision if you want to do that or not.
Right. I mean, theoretically, if you have a safe in the room and you lock
you can put away all your valuables.
That's
then,
valuable, then
right.
You know, you could do that, maybe.
Right, maybe it's an idea. Put away your valuables and assume that people aren't going to come in and...
Take your clothes.
Take your clothes and then you'd lock it when you're in there. I mean, there is a way
right,
of locking
right.
it with a
right.
It's usually a double lock, and you can lock
right.
the other manual lock.
Right.
Maybe it is a good idea. Now, walking inside and out of the hotel is a challenge as well, because they have electronic eye doors. So they sense when you're coming, they open, and then they close. So on the Sabbath and on the Yom Tov holidays, that would be a problem. You can circumvent this by finding out if there are doors that aren't electronic. Many times there are such doors, like the back doors for the staff, or service doors where they bring in all the catering, and, you know, through the kitchen. With good communication with the staff, you may be able to use some of those doors. But let's say there aren't any such, or they're not letting you use them. So what are you going to do? Oh, well, what you can do is wait until another person, a non-Jew, walks through the door. He activates it. He opens it up. And then walk right after him, walk through that doorway. So you're not actually doing anything.
Right.
The doors are already open. Now, it's, practically speaking, that's not so easy because... you don't want to bump into the other person. You don't want to encroach on him. So you tend to, somewhat behind him. And then it's difficult to coordinate your movements. That what turns out to happening sometimes is that you do activate the door. And that's not good. So we don't recommend that you stay in a hotel that has only this type of door. And there's usually other options. And I think you should look for those options. But this type of door is not so simple. I mean, if you find yourself in that situation, so then you do what we said. But to go there knowing that there's only this kind of door and you're going to be going in and out all the time, that's not
right.
something that we recommend. Now, in the rooms, they have sinks and facilities that are controlled by electric eye. It's more sanitary, right? They have them in the
mm-hmm.
airports. They have them all over nowadays.
You're saying in the hotel, in the guest rooms themselves?
In the room itself, they have the toilets that are controlled many times by electric eye.
Mm-hmm.
It could be sometimes manual also, but and that's again a problem for Shabbos and Yom Tov holiday. If you're in that situation, that's one thing. You're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that that's what they have, again, I don't recommend this kind of hotel. got to find if there's a room that doesn't have this this system. I have an inside tip that when they have handicap rooms, if those are available, if they're not being used, those handicap rooms have different types of facilities, and those are often not electric.
Interesting.
Not because they couldn't be, but just because it's a different type of facility and they haven't gotten there yet. And if that room, if such room is available, that may be a good solution to this problem. Again, if we have any questions, hit 1-1 on your keypad, and we'll be happy to take those questions.
All right, Goldberg, do you want to address some of these Shabbos candle issues and things like that?
Yeah, let's talk about the Shabbos candles. Well, how are you going to light your Shabbos candles in the hotel?
Right.
How are you going to do that? If you light it in the room, then that could be a big no-no in terms of the hotel policy.
You could set off the fire alarm too,
right?
Which
if
could
you have
be
a, well, if you have a potentially
embarrassing.
Room.
And, right.
Right. If you have a non-smoking room that have fire detectors,
and you could put on the the automatic sprinkler system, and who knows what else.
Right, but you'll have your Shabbos candles lit. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not a fun time. Yeah.
What about smoking rooms? Do they allow? You think they would allow candles?
That's a good question.
Are there even smoking rooms still around?
I think so. Yeah, I think you can request those.
I wonder if that would be a solution to request a smoking room, and then maybe you could light your candles. Although there's a big difference between having a candle lit
and a cigarette.
So I would wonder. The bottom line is you'd have to check with the hotel if they would permit you to light candles in the room. If they do not, then one shouldn't do it because of those rules.
Use a bulb, right? An incandescent light bulb.
Right. If you're eating in the room and that's where you're having your seudos, your meals, then what you can do if you can't light a candle is you can turn on an electric incandescent light in the room.
For those of us who don't know what incandescent means.
It
has a filament.
Yeah, what is it? Has a filament, yeah. Not a fluorescent.
Right.
Those of us who don't know what fluorescent is. Fluorescent is the one that is just like the long bulbs. They used to be long. Now they're spirals and with the latest inventions. But you can turn that on, and you can even say a blessing over it before you turn on that light, because that's considered like a real fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's an option. If you're eating in a dining room, let's say you're in a kosher hotel, certified kosher hotel, then you're eating in a dining room, then you should light over there.
Yeah. They'll usually have a designated place for lighting candles anyway in those hotels, I think.
Okay.
Elevators, yeah.
Elevators are an issue, and I don't want to get into that too much. The best thing to do is to book a room on the low floor, so really you don't have to use the elevator on Shabbos. I mean, there are a person who has an issue with that can speak to their rabbi or speak to us about it, but best to avoid it. On the other hand, escalators, some hotels, large hotels, have escalators. Those can be used on Shabbos without any hesitation.
I've had that experience once. I was stayed in a hotel on Shabbos, and I was booked in on the 10th floor.
Oh, my.
So,
that's a good exercise?
I just didn't go to my room very often.
Oh, okay.
I went up once to go to sleep, came down, and I think that's it.
mm-hmm.
It was a little much.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's something that if you can avoid it, it's best. Okay, I think that basically, there are other issues. Actually, here's another one: security cameras. Hotels, a lot of hotels have security cameras now. When you walk around the hotel, you're going to appear on their screen of the security personnel.
And that's an issur malacha.
That could be a concern for Shabbos because you are causing some change in the screen that's appearing inside the hotel. And the rule on that is that when you're not interested in being seen, you don't care if they see you, you don't consider yourself to be a security threat.
Right.
And you're not, you're, right? So you don't you're not interested in being seen by anybody. That's no problem. You can walk by it. But in a place where you have to show your face in order to get in, that could be, and that would be an issue. But when you when it's just you know, they have these rotating cameras and they just keep taking pictures of everybody around the hotel to make sure everything's okay, and they catch you, or even if it's constantly trained on the front door, but the door is open and you don't they don't have to unlock it special for you, that's okay. If you have an interest in being seen because the door is locked and you want them to open it for you, then that would be an issue. But I think in a hotel it's generally not like that. It's just that they have the cameras. But the doors are not usually locked, so there should be really no problem with the security cameras as far as being seen on somebody's screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that basically covers many of the issues.
We've covered it. Yep.
I mean, that's now all you have to do is go book your.
Really taking the joy out of it, Rabbi Goldberg.
Go book. Is it? Would it be that difficult now that we discussed it? Do you think so?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe on over the weekend it would be
right over the weekend. Right.
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 But again, I stress that. You have to know, now that you know what the issues are, call the hotel beforehand, speak to them, let them know what your concerns are, and many times people just wait till they get there and then they find out that there are issues and they don't have the capacity to deal with it then because they don't know
right.
who to call, and they would call their rabbi maybe for some guidance, but he's not available 10 minutes before Shabbos, and he's not, it's much easier and wiser to
be prepared.
Deal with it beforehand and be prepared. And I think if you're prepared for it, then the experience can be very pleasant and it wouldn't
right.
really be too much of a problem.
Right.
Well, thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Rabbi Beyer, for being with us.
My pleasure.
And thank you. Thank you to Zev Steen for the good work that you're doing. And I want to remind everybody, every month, the last Wednesday of the month at 12 noon Eastern, we have these teleconferences at the same number that you dialed. We post them online afterwards at kosherclasses.org, kosherclasses.org, and you click over there on podcast, and you'll see this this class. And if you have friends that you'd like to listen to, that you'd like them to listen to, they can listen over there. And I want to wish everybody a very pleasant holiday. And take care. Be well.
You. Bye-bye.